Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode sponsored by our friends at The Wellness Company. Head over to twchealth.com/Dobbs to get your med kit. A med kit with all the essential pharmaceuticals, you know, the ones the mainstream media and Marxist left don't want you to have, like ivermectin, Z-Pax, amoxicillin, and much more. Be prepared for when the next plague hits by heading over to twchealth.com/Dobbs and enter promo code Dobbs at checkout to save 15% off your entire order. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Great America Show. Thanks for joining us today. A lot going on. Speaker Mike Johnson is now, I think, truly fighting for his life. And I have to tell you, I'm not pulling for him. I'm thinking that he should move away from the speakership as fast as possible, and maybe the conference will deal with that. And a lot of people don't understand how we got to this point. I don't think anyone in the Republican conference had any significant idea of just what an arrogant twit this fellow really is. He has a marginal knowledge base. His personal expertise in law, I can't judge. But I can tell you this, when it comes to politics, this man is a fraud. He's just following orders, and he is nothing like a faith-based conservative that he claims to be. There is nothing in his record to this point, and what has it been, 6 months? I mean, the man is a monstrosity of betrayal. To the Republican Party and to, in my opinion, to the country, doing exactly what Joe Biden tells him, Joe Biden, and of course, his good friend, Chuck Schumer. This is outrageous. $1.5 trillion spending bill he's all in for, despite the conference position that called for quite a different direction in the way we do business in this country. They wanted to see if we could maybe have hearings on appropriations and be able to amend bills and actually take them on one subject, one bill, and actually start running the government as the Republican Party would have always in its history insisted. It's also it's the third day of the trial of Donald J. Trump in New York. And Jonathan Turley calls it an absurdity, this trial, these charges, and what the Marxist Dems in New York are doing to this president. I think he's not only a former president, I think he most certainly will be our future president as well, because the Marxist M's have gone so far. They've abused so much of their power. They have dragged the Constitution through the mud and then set it on fire on other occasions, whatever suits them. They are absolutely committed to denying the Bill of Rights to the American people, our citizens, and they make no secret of it. A 2,000-mile border wide open, turned over by Joe Biden to the Mexican drug cartels, and though not a peep, not a concern expressed anywhere in the national left-wing media, corporate media for sure. And to think that this is what we're doing at this point in our history, with about 6 months to election, and I think our great challenge right now is to get to November 5th without a national catastrophe, without a war, and at least be able to look forward to January 20th of next year as the day the country resumes leadership that is both powerful and historic. And Donald J. Trump at the reins will be quite a different, it'll make for quite a different atmospheric globally. And taking up the issue of Iran, right now we're all waiting, some on tenterhooks. I don't happen to be on tenterhooks about whether or not Benjamin Netanyahu will retaliate. I'm satisfied that he will, because I don't see any other way in which he could be true to his nature, to his character, and his intellect. This is a patriot and a man who lives and breathes the welfare, the well-being of Israelis and the nation state of Israel. We're delighted to welcome today Lee Smith. He is a prominent author, a great American. He writes primarily for Tablet and other publications. He's working on, he says, more than a few books at once. And if anyone can do a few books at once, it would be Lee Smith. Lee, great to have you with us here on our show, The Great America Show. Good to see you again, my friend.
Thank you, Lou. Thank you for having me on today. And thank you for the super kind introduction.
Well, I only speak truth, or I try to always speak truth. So it's great to see you, my friend. I just want to start with, obviously, I am as worried about the state of the Biden administration as I am about the tensions in the Middle East, because apparently this puppet president, mentally impaired, politically compromised, and driven by forces that we cannot put a face to beyond Barack Obama, Susan Rice, a few people, this Alex Soros. I mean, there is a list. But what we don't know is frightening about who is driving this puppet, who are his masters, and why in the world suddenly is he talking simultaneously to the Turks, the Iranians, as they attack, the Iranians, attack the state of Israel directly. Your thoughts?
Well, I think it's fair to say that Joe Biden is implementing the policy directed by his former boss, Barack Obama. So I don't think this is any mystery, or never mind a conspiracy theory. Remember Barack Obama's Iran nuclear deal. And the point of that was to realign American interest in the Middle East with those of the American Islamic Republic of Iran. So again, this is what Biden, this is what Joe Biden is doing. And then look at all the different former Obama Middle East officials throughout the Biden administration. So that's what's going on. A lot of people are saying, well, Biden is leaning on the Israelis in Gaza because of Michigan, because of the Arab American vote in Michigan. No, that's merely a small constituency, right? We're talking about the base. This is the base of Barack Obama's Democratic Party. It's the party. That's what they want. It's a pro-Iran, anti-Israel party. It also needs to be said, Lou, as you and I have discussed many times before, it's an anti-American party as well. And this is the This is part of the purpose of destabilizing, as the United States has been destabilized by these same figures. They are also working now to destabilize the Middle East. This is very important, because I remember 10 years ago trying to explain the Iran deal to different people. I don't get it. Why is Barack Obama partial to Iran? Why does he want to legalize their nuclear weapons program? I think, Lou, at this point, after Russiagate, after when Barack Obama tasked his spy chiefs to go after his successor, Donald Trump, I think after the Biden administration turned counterterrorism tactics on the political opposition, after the Biden administration opened up our borders to felons, terrorists, spies, I think it's a lot easier to understand right now why Barack Obama would partner with a regime determined to attack the pillars of American peace and prosperity. So fundamentally, that's what we're seeing happening in the Middle East. Israel is a part of it. But remember, it's the United States that has been, since the Cold War, the guarantor of Middle East stability, both in the Persian Gulf and the Eastern Mediterranean. So again, while Israel is paying a price for Barack Obama's infatuation with the Islamic Republic. The primary target here, Iran's primary target, has always been the United States. And that's the case with the Obama faction of the Democratic Party.
And I think that as you lay it out, it's clear as it could possibly be. And it's always interesting to me to recall 2008, 2009, as the two terms of Barack Obama began. To think back to the amount of constraint in the part of the public, in the public, our politicians, and of course the national corporate media, they were afraid because this was the first black president. And I mean, they were very, very, very careful. They would walk up to talking about fundamental transformation, as he called for it, the fundamental transformation of the United States. But they would not challenge him. They would not report it with the vigor that any other president certainly would have been the beneficiary of. It's interesting now with the passage of time. People have no problem saying Barack Obama is the inception of all that we are witnessing under this, what some outright call the third term of Barack Obama. Right. And by the way, I think they're absolutely right as rain. What do you think?
Well, no, I agree entirely. And you and I say that, Lou, and our friends and many of our colleagues say that. And of course, a large amount of our neighbors and fellow Americans, especially who vote Republican, will say that as well. But unfortunately, I've found, and maybe you found the same, but still, even on Capitol Hill today, people are afraid, Republicans are afraid to challenge Barack Obama. And look, I think your introduction started by talking about the nominally Republican led Congress. I think that House members could have spent the last 2 years starting investigations, getting documents, trying to secure documents on what happened during the Obama administration. Right. If people believe that Obama has used Joe Biden as an avatar, which I think is an accurate description, then one useful thing would have been to get different documentation from the Obama years, both on Russiagate. Let's remember these were Barack Obama's spy chiefs. That's something, for instance, that House Intelligence Chair Mike Turner could have spent his time on doing. They also could have found all sorts of stuff on the documents on the Iran deal. The Obama administration hid documents that the Trump administration tried to uncover, right? These weren't even classified documents. These were documents that were unclassified that they mixed with classified documents to hide them, right? So this could have been an effort to find out if this started with a Barack Obama, we should get to the bottom of it. What happened? What were the different things that Barack Obama put in place so that 10 years after Obama, or rather 15 years since he started his term, why does America look the way it does right now? That's very helpful information. Unfortunately, Republican House members did not do that. But that's why it's important, I think, for us to discuss it and for people to be forthright about what's going on here. Again, what we're seeing in the Middle East.
And we're with the man to have that frank discussion. We're talking with Lee Smith. We're coming right back after these quick messages. We will be talking about the importance of perspective in all of this and understanding the role of Barack Obama, his intelligence chiefs, and what they did and what is still occurring under their influence and direction in this country. We'll be right back with Lee Smith. And oh, by the way, I'm going to ask Lee about two guys I think were separated at birth. One's name is, his name is Mike Gallagher. And the other fellow is also a Mike. There are a lot of Mikes, and I don't like many of the Mikes for some reason. The other fellow is Mike Turner, Mike Gallagher. What a set. We'll be right back. Folks, you know I beg everyone to get ready for the next crisis, and when it comes, our lives will likely change overnight, whether it's natural disaster, war, or another disease. we have to be ready as we can be. We saw what happened in 2020 when we found ourselves dependent on global supply chains. We're still dependent on China and other countries for more than 90% of all our pharmaceuticals. With clusters of respiratory illnesses popping up around the world and here, we need to be prepared, and now is the time to make certain you have what your family needs when the next crisis hits. Our good friends, Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Drew Pinsky over at The Wellness Company have put together just what you and I need with The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit. And now The Wellness Company's Medical Kit provides a solution critical to you and your loved ones. This emergency kit includes 8 life-saving medications, including amoxicillin, Z-Pak, and ivermectin for you to keep on hand, along with a guidebook for safe use. From tick bites to biochemical events, every medical scenario is covered. Be prepared for whatever comes next. Go to twc.health/Dobbs and grab your medical emergency kit right now. Go to twc.health/Dobbs now. That's twc.health/Dobbs. Put in promo code Dobbs and save 15% at checkout. Take control of your health today with the Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit. Prepare today, be ready tomorrow.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back. We're talking with Lee Smith about two characters that I want to talk about just real briefly before we get to the really important stuff, as it were. Mike Gallagher, the head of the CCP committee, select committee. He turned out to be a two-bit low life with his own I guess ethics that are incomprehensible to I think anyone else just about. And Mike Turner, who is nothing but a two-bit hack, servicing the military-industrial complex and those intel chiefs that apparently have something on him. They either that or they got something, they've got a threat that is working against him. I mean, these two are, to me, just absolute, I'll use the word cretins. They are disgusting. They are sold out in every way you could be, it seems to me.
Well, let me start with Representative Turner, whom I met while I was reporting the book on Devin Nunes. One of the things that happened, and this is what I really mean to do here, is highlight how important it was what Devin Nunes did, because these committees, the intelligence committees, both in the Senate and in the House, right? I mean, they send the intelligence services, the CIA, the FBI, DNI, they send a whole bunch of people and basically they recruit House members, right? So a lot of people talk about how, and that wouldn't surprise me, I'm sure that this is right, that there are all sorts of portfolios on House members collected by everyone from FBI to DHS. That wouldn't surprise me at all. I think the most significant fact, however, again, is that these committees are absolutely infiltrated by American spies. And so they're pushing it in the direction that they want it. And lots of these people who are in these committees and lots of the people who are running these committees don't want any friction at all. Right. They don't want friction with the intelligence services. They don't want friction with the White House. And let's face it, until before Devin Nunes ran that committee, there was no one who was really concerned on the Hill, certainly no Republicans who were concerned. Well, I guess we could say Rand Paul, but who were concerned with the sorts of things that the FBI was up to. So the idea that that Chairman Johnson, rather Chairman Turner, that you know he pushed for the reauthorization of FISA, while disgusting, should not come as that much of a surprise. Unfortunately, a lot of people on the Hill, especially on those committees, are not looking out for the interest of Americans. They're not concerned about our civil liberties. And look, if we have people who were lukewarm supporters, if supporters at all, of Donald Trump, they don't care what happened to Trump. They don't care what happened to Trump aides. And they don't even care what's happened to Trump supporters.
Now, let's be honest. It's not that they don't care. It's that they hate his guts, and they are scared to death of what he represents, because the American people then, when he walks into the Oval Office, the will of the governed, the consent of the governed, becomes important once again. And this is now suddenly we're a constitutional republic. Without his leadership, we don't want to contemplate what this country will be at that moment in history. It will be a tragedy of unimaginable proportions, you know. And you said no one should be surprised, but I have to say to you, I don't think anybody is ever surprised by the venality, the viciousness, the self dealing of the swamp, either party. Yeah. So I see this more as a moment in which it's not about surprise. It's not about expectations. We know what we have in front of us. An entire party is aligned against not just Donald Trump, by the way. There are never Trumpers. There are also some never Americans, and there are some never constitutionalists. These people are the enemy. We have fifth columns, I think, for the first time, certainly in my lifetime, we have fifth columns working that are robust. They are active, subverting the government of the United States, our political system. And people don't want to even whisper China, the PRC, CCP, Russia, Iran, Hamas, all of the terrorist groups from around the world. Everyone is sort of gathering at this wonderful beachhead, 2,000 miles across that Mexican border. But now it's the Mexican drug cartel border, brought to you by Joe Biden. I mean, this is hardly a time for anyone to be surprised, because we have thrown our gates wide open and said to every barbarian, come on in. Right. Courtesy Joe Biden.
They've reopened. Look, I mean, this Lou, I think very often, and I'm not just flattering you, but I think very often about our conversations here. And one of the conversations that really struck me was you got a little frustrated with me at one point when I was talking about our God-given rights. And you said, God-given rights, I'm tired of hearing about that. Americans have to fight for these rights. And so first, when you were saying that without a Donald Trump victory, we'll be in a very dark place. I agree with it. But again, Americans will have to fight whether or not Donald Trump is elected president. And when we're talking about our borders being open, again, this puts Americans, what they've done is they've brought us back to the frontier, right? This was a country settled by very hard men and women. And so they've brought us back to the frontier. And again, it will be up to Americans to defend themselves, to defend their families, to defend their communities. It's a terrible thing that they've done. But again, it's in our history. It's in our blood. So I'm just saying I don't despair. And I don't think that Americans should be despairing right now. As for what you were saying about, as what we were talking about with Representative Turner, right? It's a revelatory moment. We see what's happening. We see what they're doing. What shocks me about all of this is you figure even if these people didn't care, our elected officials didn't care about representing their constituents, whether these are, you know, congressional districts or whether these are the states represented by senators or whether it's the president of the United States, even if they didn't care about their constituents, you would think they would have a little personal honor, right? So when the Biden administration decides to leave the border open and endanger American citizens, you would think that people on our side, people elected by Republicans, would say, "How dare you? How dare you?" Right? On my watch, you're going to try to open up the border. I'm going to fight you tooth and nail. And look, I would have liked an impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas, but I think there could have been much harder measures put in place. I mean, or not measures put in place, but much harder language coming from the Hill. You're betraying this country. I know that if we start issuing criminal referrals to Joe Biden's DOJ, nothing is going to happen, but we're putting you on alert right now. You've betrayed this country and you're in big trouble next time we get a Republican attorney general, because you will be referred then and you will be paying a serious penalty for what you've done to it, for what you've done. Again, take it personally, for what you've done to me on my watch. You have shamed me. You have dishonored me. That's what surprises me, that none of these guys have any personal honor at all.
Think about this. Four border states, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California, only one governor with the guts to put his Department of Public Safety, state troopers, the state military, the National Guard on the border to stop it. And Greg Abbott knows he can't stop it, but he can, by golly, slow it down. I give him all the credit in the world. And I wonder why this country is tolerating those other three governors and their pathetic attitude as this country is being invaded across their borders with Mexico. We're talking with Lee Smith. We're going to come right back. And I'd like to go back to Mike Gallagher and Mike Turner. I've had about all of my stomach can take when I think of those two treasonous SOBs. Son of a guns. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're talking with Lee Smith.
Lou Dobbs here. I'm delighted to let you all know that the program Lou Dobbs Tonight has returned to the air. That's right. Lou Dobbs Tonight is back. We're live each and every weeknight at 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central on rumble.com/Lou Dobbs. That's rumble.com/Lou Dobbs. I hope you'll be joining us for Lou Dobbs Tonight, as our fight to save this country has only begun.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Back now, we're talking with Lee Smith, and it's a grand talk it is, and we thank you for that, Lee. I want to turn to these issues that, the CCP committee seemingly toyed with, but nothing really happened, as is often the case on the Hill. Your thoughts about how is it after, it's 5 years since President Trump said he was getting rid of TikTok. And here they are. the discussion goes on, but they're still here doing their job, gathering data on everyone from children to whoever else wants to be involved, and sending it back to the CCP.
Right.
Your thoughts?
Well, and also, I mean, I think even more importantly, it's the AI, as people have explained to me, I'm hardly an AI expert. As people have explained to me, the AI component shapes different, I guess the fancy word is narratives, shapes different narratives, and that really poisons the American public sphere. So when we talk about social media and when people talk about First Amendment, it's useful to see TikTok rather as a propaganda instrument of the Chinese Communist Party. It also so happens, however, that TikTok is a very important Democratic Party platform, messaging platform, right? That's one of the reasons why the Biden administration has used so many TikTok influencers. So I think it's in that context that we need to understand this TikTok bill that's caused so much controversy. I think that the main purpose here is not to ban TikTok and not to give Biden control over big tech, because as we know, the Democrats already control big tech. So the idea that they're going to get more control over big tech is kind of absurd. Now, I think the purpose of the TikTok bill is to be able to clear it, move it away from the CCP, get it in different hands so that political donors, the donor class that has invested in TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, there are billions and billions of dollars invested in ByteDance. I think the reason for the TikTok bill is to be able to give Joe Biden the ability to get his donors paid. That's what it is, right? It's not to shut down free speech.
I happen to think that TikTok has a broader canvas than that. They are at once gathering data on American citizens. Yeah. They are influencing certainly children. And as you say, the Democratic Party has another, I guess it wouldn't be unfair to call it another, Facebook. They're using, and Meta, they are using everything available to them. Did I mention Google? We have a Silicon Valley filled with Democrat donors, and they're pouring money in at this very moment. They've influenced, this will be their third go around for a presidential election. They will be trying to influence the outcome. It's very important that TikTok, I want it shut down. I don't want Steve Mnuchin or whoever wants it to buy it. I want it shut down because it is frankly, there's just too much evil that has been.
I agree. I totally agree. I want it shut down. All I'm saying is the purpose of this bill is not to shut it down. It's to get donors paid. As far as shutting down a CCP propaganda instrument, agree 100%, Lou. And not just the Democratic Party propaganda instrument, but also a platform for Democratic parties to transfer more wealth out of the United States to Beijing, again, another reason to see that thing shut down.
And also because it's a peddler of licentious video and an assault on not only the senses, but the character of our young people. It's disgusting. By the way, so much of media, I'm not going to say that's the only channel where we have to worry about that. Who wrote that bill? Who was prominent in that legislation on TikTok?
Well, I mean, Representative Gallagher was part of that, and he was working on that with Biden's deputy attorney general, Lisa Monaco, who, of course, has been involved in so many destructive campaigns against Donald Trump and Donald Trump supporters and the country as a whole.
Right.
I will say,
go ahead.
Well, I agree with you about social media generally. I will say I last week there was a party at Mar-a-Lago for Truth Social, which is what was started by Donald Trump. And now the CEO is Devin Nunes.
I didn't get invited. Pardon? I wasn't invited.
I didn't know.
Now they're going to know. Now they're going to get what for. I'll tell them.
So. All right. Yeah. Thanks, Luke.
So, you know, I'm writing on Truth Social. This is one of the things that I'm writing about, and I'm writing about some of the communications wars that we've seen here over the last decade. But I'll say Truth Social really is very interesting. It's not just a Twitter knockoff or something for the right. I mean, you know, there's some bad actors on Truth Social, but it's also very moving. And I believe that Truth Social, and Donald Trump has been putting this on Truth Social, but I really believe that it is a pro-America social media platform. Yeah, no, right? It's not just about politics. It's a terrific place, and I know I think that you and I wanted to talk about Devin Nunes, who's now the CEO of Truth Social.
Listen to Lee Smith; he's producing now. All right, he thought the old guy probably won't remember about that.
No. I just thought, let's move right into it.
Because I said he was my first choice from the first moment that President Trump started talking about the vice president. He's a natural to me. He's principled. He is talented. He's bright. He's experienced. And by the way, he is America first and Donald Trump all the way.
Well, there's something else too. I agree with all of those. And, you know, ever since I wrote Plot Against the President, and it's really about, you know, Devin Nunes' investigation, uncovering the biggest political scandal in U.S. history. And so I know him pretty well now. And the other thing about him is that he likes to fight. And by which, I mean, I've said that. I said, like, yeah, you like to fight. It's like, I don't like to fight. I said, I don't mean that you like to go up and punch, right? I said, I don't mean that you like to go up and
wanting to fight.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Why are you arguing with me? I'm complimenting you. See, you're fighting. But I mean, look what these guys have gone through with Truth Social. Everyone dug in against them. Biden's SEC, DOJ, all these people were going after them. But again, they manage the merger. It's one of the most complicated and difficult IPOs of all time. So as with Russiagate and as with other things, Devin Nunes is a fighter. We see Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is just, I mean, he's a marvel. He's a specimen, right? He's in the arena. Right. He's in the arena. People talk about being in the arena. That guy never leaves the arena, right?
So he'll make an arena if he doesn't have an arena.
Yeah, exactly. He's a walking arena. Yeah.
Well, I've got to ask you, if you could give us your concluding thoughts as we wrap up here on Devin Nunes, because I think you're right. I think he would be magnificent.
Well, I heard people talking about it. I've heard different, you know, people on social media talking about it. And I'm interested that that was your first choice. But yeah, I think so too. I mean, he knows Washington. He knows all the different fora from which Donald Trump is being attacked. And as I said, one of the most important things is Donald Trump has to have people at his back who don't just know things, but who will fight alongside Donald Trump. And that's Devin. Look, there are lots of others too. There's Cash Patel, there's Richard Grenell. There's a whole bunch of people who know how to fight for America against the deep state. But Devin Nunes, I mean, that guy's at the top of the list. So yeah, I certainly see, I hadn't thought about it, but then I started seeing it again on social media. I'm like, yeah, actually that'd be really great if Devin Nunes was Donald Trump's VP.
Let me ask a question. Was Devin a subject of conversation at that Mar-a-Lago gala that I wasn't invited to? Lee, I'm just kidding. I'm just delighted always to talk with you. And thanks for being here. We covered a lot of ground, and I just appreciate your intellect, your insight, and God bless you, my friend.
Thank you so much, Lou. God bless you, too.
Lee Smith, a great American, great journalist, remarkable fellow. We appreciate you being with us here today. Thanks so much. And please join us tomorrow, same time or a different time. We're easy to get along with. Thanks so much for being with us. God bless you and take care.